welcome to Hawk Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast from the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we are back. This time, we are late, though. We have to apologize a little bit for that.
Yeah.
Long story short, family visit ran a little long. It's the holidays. These things happen.
Yep.
And we did not have an episode in the can. We oftentimes, if not usually, do. But this time around, we did not.
Right.
So, we were late this week. However, so this will be going live on a Tuesday. And I've got to say, we made it 106 episodes without having an episode more than a couple of hours late.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we have had one go live on a Tuesday before, so...
Oh, just...
I don't think it's the first time.
Oh, still, 98% reliability, not that
bad.
I'm not gonna beat myself up over that. But you would know that this episode was late. You would know why it was late.
Right.
If you followed us on our social media accounts. We are Haunt Weekly on Facebook, Haunt Weekly on Twitter, and also you can go to tinyurl.com/hauntweekly for our YouTube channel, where you will find all of the previous episodes easy to stream and listen to, so you YouTube junkies can get it that way. And also get neat little lists and categories and all things like that that we can't do with a regular podcast channel, because podcasts are stupid.
Really?
That's why we do one. 106 episodes worth of one. Like I said, we're on a roll. Alright, so we have some business to attend, but real fast, this week's topic is based upon a piece of pop culture going on right now, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, that's fair.
And that is The Disaster Artist, a film that is out in theaters. We were not paid by The Disaster Artist for this.
No.
This is just an idea to combine two obsessions of ours into one fancy little episode. I will say, however, we have not seen The Disaster Artist as of this recording.
We had planned on seeing it before the recording, but things kind of went sideways.
Well, let's see. It went live Friday. It went out in theaters Friday.
Yeah.
And we had a party. I don't want to use the word obligation.
Yeah.
But it was an obligation.
Yeah.
It was a good kind of obligation. We didn't hate it or anything, but still, we had to go. We couldn't cut out on it.
Right.
Then we were in the upstate visiting family.
Yes.
And then we got back today, and it's just we have had too much to do, including this recording. So if we had gone to see The Disaster Artist, we'd have had to push this back yet another day.
Yeah.
And that would have made you sad.
Yeah.
So, for your benefit, we are waiting to see The Disaster Artist probably until either tomorrow or Thursday. It's going to depend upon how this thing we're looking at with friends is going to connect on tomorrow. So we'll see how that goes. It might be that we get the absolute best experience you can. My favorite theater in town.
Yeah.
And some of our best friends to go with. I think that could be the best way to see it.
You can probably get.
So if it works out, that's the way we see it, that's great. So no spoilers for the next 24 hours. Not that I don't know how the film ends. It ends with the making of The Room.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of what it's about.
Yeah, so... I think the ending is already known. But anyways, business. Business. We have business. First things first, reminder. I have been confirmed to speak at HauntCon. You can come listen to me talk about more intelligent things than the ramblings we do here. Better planned, better thought out things. Like slides and a purpose. You know, not this babbling we do for...
I know your conference prep. I know that's as much bullshit as this podcast.
Or you might see a tremendous train wreck. It's really, any way it goes, it's going to be a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, I doubt it'll be a train wreck.
Okay. But anyways, my two talks are, first, how to make a website that sells your haunt. That will be Friday, January 12th, 3:30 through 4:30, toward the end of the conferencing day. I think that might be the last window.
Right, that's right before everybody goes drinking.
Yes. And then copyright and trademark for Haunters, Sunday, January 14th, 9 to 10 a.m., right after people are done drinking and coming in.
Right. And what we may do that Friday is we may join you guys for a few of the drinks, if we're able to, and then head to a different pub. And if some of you want to join us at a more local, low-key bar, you can just follow us to that bar.
Maybe even some of you might even get a ride with us. Who knows? Yeah. We'll figure it out. I mean, I don't know how many cars we're going to have, what the situation's going to be. But, yeah, we would love the chance to show you around our town. That sounds like a good way to handle it. So we'll tentatively schedule that.
Right. Okay, but, so now it's time for conference reminders.
Yes, and I believe you should start this week, since I've already talked about HompCon enough.
Well, and you started last week.
No, that makes
sense. So that means it's fair.
Yes.
Because you are now the odd one out.
There you go.
All right, January 12th through 15th, as you just mentioned, is HauntCon Halloween and Party Expo in New Orleans at the Ernest N. Morial Convention Center. They will be touring Rise Haunted House, both Lights On and Lights Off tours, the Museum of Death, Demented Design Factory, escape rooms at the mortuary, and includes a Bourbon Street pub crawl, which we just mentioned.
Yeah, and we forgot to add it to the show notes, but they will be touring the Mortuary Haunted House.
Yes.
I do not know what they will be seeing. I can make no guarantees how much of it's there.
Probably going to be interesting.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I got to say, if nothing else, it's worth seeing the building, though.
Right.
The building is amazing. So that alone is worthwhile to me.
Yeah.
But how much of the haunt is there, I think that's going to be open to interpretation.
Yeah, I would be interested just to see, you know, how much of it they actually tear down each year. Because this would be a good time to see that.
Yeah.
But anyway, you can find out more on that at HauntCon.com and also get your tickets if you haven't already.
Yes, we have acquired Crystal's ticket.
Yes.
My ticket is covered as part of my speaking thing.
Yes.
So we will both be there all the days. Trade show floor access, everything. We'll be all up in that shop. You won't be able to miss us.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll have our Haunt Weekly polo shirts on.
Right. So me on Friday is a little bit iffy on what times I'll be there.
Yeah.
Because I do have to work.
Now, you have like a day job and stuff.
I do.
But, you know, I'll definitely be there the full time.
Yes.
All right. Well, after that, it's the Maze Chicago Corn Party. Which, that sounds to me like a weird, very different kind of party.
Uh-huh.
But anyways, it's in Chicago, Illinois, March 1st through 3rd at the Chicago Marriott Southwest at Burr Ridge. They'll be touring Coupler's Family Farm, Shinomak Orchard, and Gobberts and More. Learn more at The Maize, themaize.com for more.
Okay, next, March 22nd through the 25th. In St. Louis, Missouri, it's Trans World's Halloween and Attraction Show at the America Center. Pre-convention bus tour visiting Nashville Nightmare in Talon Falls offers a voodoo soiree on Saturday night. And you can find out more about that at the Ha Show, HaaShow.com.
All right. Then April 13th through the 15th, it's the West Coast Haunters Convention in Portland, Oregon at the Doubletree Hotel, Portland. It will include Nightmare After West Coast Haunters Convention Film Festival, which features a surprise selection of movies they're not telling. Learn more at hauntersconvention.com.
Okay. Into May 18th through 20th. It's Halloween Show and National Haunters Convention presents Halloween Boardwalk Empire in Atlantic City, New Jersey on the Showboat Convention Center. It features zombie volleyball, a hearse show, a costume ball, and much more. And HalloweenShow.com for more on that.
I question the idea that zombies are very good at volleyball.
You could just see them hitting the ball and their arm flying off.
I don't see much good coming out.
Well, you couldn't, I guess you could have the fast zombies, mm-hmm. you know, the more modern zombies that could get to the ball in time to hit it.
Yeah, but they're still not known for their precision.
Yeah.
And over their speed, but not their precision. Precision. Exhaustion may be setting in, folks. I apologize. But the final conference for this set of reminders is the Midwest Haunters Convention, May 25th through 27th in Columbus, Ohio. The Greater Columbus Convention Center, featuring a masquerade party, a zombie walk, and a pre-convention bus tour with Haunts TBA. Learn more about what those haunts might be at MidwestHauntersConvention.com.
All right.
All right. Now, that does bring us back to our topic this week. It has often been said that some films are so bad, they're good. And right. that, we'll get into it in a minute, but that's a statement I've kind of always disagreed with.
Yeah.
But we've been having a conversation a lot about this lately because of The Disaster Artist.
Right.
Now, The Disaster Artist is the making of The Room, and The Room is referred to as the Citizen Kane of bad films.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's widely considered to be a film that's so bad, it's good. But here's the thing. We have a ton of experience with right. bad movies.
We do.
An ungodly amount of experience with yes. bad movies. An unhealthy amount of experience, even.
Two bookshelves full of bad movies.
Yes, if you go to our living room, which, A, that's breaking and entering. Why would you do that?
Yes.
You asshole. But if you were to be invited in and go yes. in, you would see two bookshelves literally filled top to bottom, pretty much the entire thing, with a variety of terrible, almost all horror movies.
Yes.
And these come largely from, like, these $5 collections at Walmart.
Right. You've all seen them. You've all been curious while we bought them.
We bought them and watched them. Watched a lot of them. Oh, my God. So, like 12 horror movies for a dollar. And you realize they're all, like, recent.
Yeah.
They're not like those public domain. Don't we have some of those public domain boxes, too?
We do.
Like the 100 films on 12 DVDs for 10 bucks or whatever.
Right.
We got those, too. But mostly our collection is occupied with very low budget and, I would say, low skill films. Because we've seen some low budget, high skill flicks.
Right.
It's My Party and I'll Die If I Want To. It leaps out in that right. category.
Yeah, they had some really cool effects.
Yeah, the Ted Raimi School of Effects graduates there, I think it was.
Mm.
But, you know, they had a lot of experience with practical effects and some good work with cinematography. It was great. And Crystal's fact-checking me because I'm exhausted and I don't even know what I just said.
Yeah, I don't think that's the right name.
It probably isn't. And like I said, I am exhausted beyond all belief, so who knows what's happening yeah. here. But anyways, we began having this conversation about The Disaster Artist and about, you know, films that are so bad they're good. And we began to think to ourselves, well, is it possible for a haunted attraction to right. meet that standard? And honestly, like I said earlier, we don't really buy the phrase, so bad it's good.
Right, and it's Tom Savini.
Tom Savini, thank you.
Yes.
I probably just conflated.
There's a conference coming up with Ted Raimi, so that's probably where that's
okay. My things are jumping in my brain that don't belong there.
Yeah, I'm like, that's not the right
name. Okay, thank you very much for the correction.
That's okay, anyway.
Anyways. But,
back
okay,
to the, so bad it's good.
But the problem with it, with the expression so bad it's good is, let's take The Room. It's considered right. to be a movie so bad it's good.
Yeah.
But it's nowhere near the worst film we've seen.
Well, not only that, but I don't think it can be considered as good. It's entertaining.
Yes.
But there's a difference between entertaining and good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and here's the thing. When you get to films that are a certain amount of unwatchable.
Yeah.
Certain amount of bad. They become literally unwatchable.
Yeah.
We have seen films like that. That we either struggled yeah. mightily to finish.
Yes.
Or we just didn't finish in some cases.
Right.
And I think the worst, in part because of the marketing, was Mulva's Zombie Ass Kicker.
Yeah, that one was pretty bad.
Because, go ahead and pull up the box art on this one on your own time.
We'll wait.
Take your time. Just hit pause. And you'll find an attractive girl in like a schoolgirl outfit carrying some huge guns.
Right.
All to advertise a low-budget film in which there are no sexy women.
Right.
No sexy outfits.
Yeah.
And no guns.
Yeah.
And no real action to speak of.
No. It was a slog to get through.
It's like any image in your head of what that film is like.
Yeah.
That is gone. It's wrong.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We have seen a lot of terrible films that meet that qualification.
Right. Now, we were actually able to get through that one.
Yes.
But there is one was a sequel that we weren't able to get through.
Yes. Then that was Thanks Killing 3.
Yes. Don't ask about 2. It doesn't exist.
And it's the plot of 3. It's very weird.
Yeah. Thanksgiving, we loved. Like,
Thanksgiving is one of our holiday traditions around here.
Yes.
Thanksgiving is one of the best bad movies we've seen.
Yes.
But Thanksgiving 3, just, I don't know what happened with that one.
I don't know either.
Oh, man, that was rough.
Sorry, guys.
love your work in the first one, but I think they seem to have acknowledged that the third one went off the rails.
Yeah.
But anyways, so one of the things we've often come to talk about when we're discussing movies
right.
is what we call the uncanny mountain.
Right.
Now, basically, if you plotted a chart of how entertaining and how fun a film is to watch, or how engaging a film is, we'll say, up against like the IMDb score or something, like the quality of it.
Right.
At 10, obviously, it's going to be a super engaging film. 10 out of 10, it's going to be super engaging. So it's like right there in that corner, that upper right corner. And then it goes down and down in a linear fashion. But then it sort of tanks. We're right around 5, you know, the 6 and 5s.
Yeah.
You just get these films that, well, yeah, I guess they're serviceable and they tell a story and they do things films are supposed to do.
They're adequate.
They're just dull, though.
Exactly.
You don't remember them. You don't think about them.
Yeah.
You don't enjoy them.
Right.
And so then it, like, rockets up again. You reach this mountain where, like, you get into, like, the 4s and the 3s and the early 2s there, late 2s.
Yeah. The 3s and the 2s are where we tend to pick from.
Yeah. You get these very, you can sometimes at least get these very, very entertaining films that are a lot of fun and you really enjoy. And the thing about it is they're not complete garbage.
Right.
But they're definitely not good in any classical sense of the word good.
Yeah. That's agreeable.
This is kind of where I think The Room hangs out.
Yeah.
It's in that area. And also films like Birdemic that have found this cult following.
Yeah.
They hang out in that range where they at least do enough right that it's not completely unwatchable and you can be entertained the whole time, but it's definitely not, you know,
if it's by making fun of how bad it is, which is often the case.
Well, I mean, obviously, but still, if you're going to make fun of how bad it is, you have to have stuff to make fun of.
Right. And you have to be engaged enough to make fun.
Exactly.
It can't be just painful all the time to watch.
I mean, think about, like, Manos, The Hands of Fate. If you've ever seen the unriffed, uncut Jesus Christ, this was used in Gitmo to torture people edition.
Yeah, why were you doing that?
Why did you do this to yourself and your loved ones? You know, people care about you.
Yeah.
Why? But it includes something like 18 minutes, I think it is, of just driving sequences.
Yeah.
And it was so bad when Mr. Science Theater 3000 went back and did their version, they had to cut it out.
Right.
They had to cut a significant amount of the runtime because there was nothing there to make fun of.
Yeah.
So just picture that for a minute. Yeah.
So just watch the MST3K version.
Yeah. Or the Rift Tracks version or any of those. You'll be fine.
Yep.
But the point is, once you go much past that, it just craters again and it becomes completely unwatchable or worse.
Right.
I mean, it becomes outright torture. And the key, if you want a good, bad film, is to find something at the top of that uncanny mountain there.
Right.
That's bad enough to still be really entertaining and really fun, but not so bad that it falls completely off the other side into the abyss.
Right.
And that's tough.
It's
a very, very skinny, tall mountain you're trying to ride there.
Yeah.
But some films do manage to hit it.
Mm-hmm.
But so anyways, you know, we've established that there are films that are not good in any classical sense.
Right.
But are still very entertaining and very fun.
Yeah.
Is that true for haunted attractions?
Right.
And honestly, the first struggle we have with this, and when we're having this conversation, is how do we define what is a bad haunt?
Right.
I mean, and obviously a lot of this is going to be, well, it's a matter of taste, that people want different things out of their haunts. Some people want that McCainy Manor, gag me, tie me up, shave my head bull crap that I don't understand.
Yeah.
And some of people want, you know, like the old spook house or the old fair house things on the other end.
Right.
Where they want like lights that flash and little dummies to pop up and stuff and anything bigger or harder than that. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's got taste. So there's no accounting for taste. But one thing I think we cannot say is a bad haunt is a low budget or a no budget haunt in some cases.
Right.
Because we have been to low budget to no budget haunts and even low skill haunts.
Yes.
That through sheer passion and sheer creativity managed to really impress us.
Well, and a lot of that also has to do with the people running it and the people acting in it. Because if they're passionate and they're having fun, then the customers are going to have fun. No matter how low quality the build is.
Yeah, we go to a haunt every year locally called Lafitte Fire Department haunted house. This is an actual fire department doing a charity haunt.
Yep.
And they are doing it on a budget that is truly amazing.
Yeah.
I.e., it's a lot of donated stuff, actually.
Yeah, it's a lot of donated stuff and less than our monthly budget.
Yeah, it really is. It's absolutely amazing they pulled anything off, ever.
Right.
But not only did they pull it off, but they've really brought out some creative ideas, and they've made excellent use of what they had at every turn, which is what I've loved. And so, yeah, low budgets and low quality costumes and all that, makeup, whatever, doesn't make a haunt bad. And in fact, I find that sometimes that actually helps make a haunt better.
Yeah.
When they play to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it helps people lower their guard.
Right.
I mean, how many times do people come to our haunt and they're like, I thought this was just a cheesy little garage haunt. I love having our haunt.
Yeah.
This, you know, built out, actually, you know, well-designed, well-built haunt.
Right.
In our garage, because nobody sees it coming until they've gone through the first time.
Nope.
They just look at this 600 square foot garage. They assume there's nothing in there to worry about.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be all, you know, tarps and screen masks.
Right.
And it's not.
Yeah. It's completely not. It's characters. It's custom builds. It's awesome.
Yeah. We try our best to create a professional haunted house. Bite size.
Yes, exactly.
It's like a fun size Snickers.
Yes.
It's still a Snickers, but it's fun size.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, the same things can be said for, like, gyms up in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
I would say his is low budget. And Raven's Grin Inn.
Oh, Jim Moorfield, yeah.
Yep. Raven's Grin Inn. Sorry, my brain is not firing on all cylinders either. It takes it a second to get there.
The Raven's Grin Inn, yeah, definitely low budget. But he's also got 30 years of intense passion into it.
Yeah, passion and creativity, and you're not going to see that show anywhere else.
God, I hope not. God, I hope not. Jim, I love you, but if anyone tries to replicate that, I'll kill him. You were the only one to get to do that in my book.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, to me, a bad haunt is more about when creators either don't care or don't try.
Right.
And it could be simply a matter of they were unable to finish.
Yeah.
I have seen haunts that I know for a fact were built by very talented and very passionate haunters.
Right.
People who have in the past built great haunts.
Yes.
And they just weren't given the resources or the time they needed to do it. The higher-ups, if you will.
Yeah.
Just did not give them the tools for success, and that haunt epically failed.
Yeah.
It was very painful to go through because...
Yeah, because you could see the potential and you could see the love, but you could also see all of the shortcomings because of the constraints they were put under.
Yeah, and it's bad because with that particular haunt, and this is getting sidetracked, I admit, you would go through and you would see flashes of brilliance in some of the rooms.
Right.
Like, you would see the rooms they actually could finish.
Yeah.
Were done, well done, they were nice. And then you would go into the next mile and a half, it felt like, of corridor that was completely unfinished.
Yeah.
And you got depressed again.
Right.
But yeah, so, but the other reason, of course, is that the owners just wanted to throw money at the problem.
Yeah.
That, to me, is in a way worse when you see that.
Yeah, and this is something that's come up a lot between us and our hunter friends, is what is a worse experience?
Yeah.
Going to someone's haunt who just bought everything out of the catalog and put it up and said, here's your haunt. Or
we all have a Fright Props catalog somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. They
pro tip.
Yeah. Pro tip. yeah. Or is it worse to fail because of other reasons?
Or because you didn't know what you were doing.
Right.
And just did a crap job because you tried, but you were totally going the wrong direction with stuff.
Right, but you had the passion.
But you had the passion. Or is it worse to fail because you had the constraints that were unfair, and what could have been a great haunt got tanked.
Right. We have decided that money's the enemy.
You know, I still think, for me personally as a haunter, I find that latter scenario the most painful. But yeah, I guess
it's painful.
But in terms of producing the worst haunt, yes. The no energy cash in does not produce a good experience for customers at all.
No. And or it's really, for the actors.
Or not for anybody. So, but yeah, but this brings us to the crux of the discussion here this week. I know we're about 25 minutes in, we're just getting to the crux of the discussion. But is it possible to make a haunt that is so bad, it's good, to make a haunt, the room of haunted attractions?
Right.
We've been to a lot of haunts.
Yeah.
Of all sizes, all stripes, all prices. I have not seen a haunt I would consider the room of haunted attractions.
Hmm.
Have you?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. I think if anyone were to come close to that,
okay,
it would be Raven's Grin in off season. Because it's got a lot of the elements of, but it's just awesome.
But that's just it. It's a great experience. I think it's a great haunt. I don't think it's the room. I think it's a very different direction. It may, you're not looking at a Hollywood blockbuster here, but maybe you're looking at this really interesting, you know, art piece film.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think it's quite the room. That seems
and
wrong.
And art films are not fun to go to, just ask Ellie.
Depends on the art film, come on. But, yeah, I mean, like, for me, I think the closest I've seen was, like, Freaks of Fear in Atlanta.
Okay.
But that one was, I think we handicapped that one. I want to go back to it at some point.
Okay.
When it's not early in season and not raining.
Yeah.
Basically, they didn't have a lot of their staff.
Yeah.
So we're not able to really discuss how it was. But it was still an amazing experience because of the passion and the energy of the people there and the creativity they brought. Does that make it a bad haunt? I don't think it does.
No. And I'm not saying that I've been to any that were truly bad just off of the passion. I mean, we've been to the one that had all of the problems with the constraints.
Yes.
Yeah,
we've been to a few haunts that were truly bad.
Right.
But we haven't been to any that were so bad that either through making fun of it or through just, you know, I don't know what it would be, we ended up enjoying it.
Yeah.
I don't think happened.
No, and I mean, there's some places that we've been that just shouldn't work as haunts.
Mm-mm.
But they do.
Yeah, though there's lots of places like that.
Yeah. Which, well, I mean, and that's kind of where I'm going with the low budget, quote unquote, bad movies that are fun and have some element of entertainment, is that, you know, you have this desire, and I'm completely losing my train of thought. My brain's running too fast or too slow, one of those. But it's just, that's kind of the comparison I'm making, is that, because those movies should not work at all, but they do. And they're entertaining because they do.
Hmm. Well, and let's get to the actual yes and no arguments. We'll come back to this.
All right.
But the no argument, as I see it, is that a bad movie that's still good is an entertaining movie.
Right.
But a bad haunt, by its very nature, is not entertaining.
Yeah.
It's dull. It's uninteresting. It's empty. It's lifeless. It's dead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Bad movies can still be very, very entertaining. You can leave the passion out there.
Right.
And you can fill every frame with some kind of action, and you can have things going on, and it become a good movie, or at least an entertaining film if it's not a good film.
Right.
But bad haunts, it doesn't quite work that way. If you have that level of energy and passion to make every second count, you know, it doesn't really matter what your budget or your constraint is.
Right.
In a strange way, where a movie, I think the issue is, it's not a level playing field.
Yeah.
If you don't have the budget, you know, to shoot the way you need to shoot, to have the lighting you need,
right,
and all that jazz, you're not going to be able to make a film that really competes or really holds its own.
Right.
With larger films. But your passion, energy, and skill can still show through.
Yeah.
It just won't be regarded as well.
Right.
With haunts, while yes, we do love our multi-million dollar sets, we find, you know, people can be just as entertained and enjoy just as much, you know, a tarp haunt or a bare bones haunt.
Right.
As they do a high-end, you know, movie set quality haunt.
Oh, yeah. We tend to prefer those. The lower budget creative haunts.
Yeah. And that's just it. You know, that to me is the difference, because with a film, you don't really get that. It doesn't get regarded the same.
Right.
And I think part of the problem is that haunted attractions kind of have the opposite goal of films.
Yeah.
Movies are trying to make time pass quickly. They're trying to be entertaining and engaging.
Right.
They suck you in. They put you in a dark room staring at a screen. And the hope is that the time you're in there passes quickly, and you're thinking about and engaged with that film after you leave.
Right.
Haunted attractions, we kind of want to do the opposite.
Yeah.
If you've got a 12-minute walk, we want it to feel like the longest 12 minutes of your damn life.
Right. We want you to be surprised when you check your timer.
And go, wow, we were only in there for 20 minutes or whatever. It felt like I was in there for 3 days.
Yeah.
You know, we have kind of the opposite goal. Mm-hmm. And that makes it very difficult for a bad haunt to still be seen as entertaining, as engaging.
Yeah.
Because a bad haunt is not going to hold that attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where if a bad movie fails to hold the attention, you might be able to fill the gap yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a very different set of obligations. Where the haunted attraction, the haunt has to grab and hold and drag that attention span out. And movies, you know, you can kind of let the audience do some of the legwork for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's a major safety issue here, though. Because, let's be honest here, there's no such thing as an unsafe movie.
Yeah.
I've been... the closest I think I've been to an unsafe movie was actually The Room.
Yes.
When someone, because the tradition of throwing spoons during The Room was alive and well when we went to a theater once.
Right.
And someone threw a pewter spoon at us.
Yes.
So we have a free pewter spoon.
Yes, we do.
So we were, it was a theater with a balcony.
Right.
And someone from the balcony threw it down.
Yeah.
Did not hit us, but hit close. And we heard that, dang, it sounded like it took a damn chunk out of the floor when it hit. It was a heavy spoon. Ding! And we picked it up and we put it in our bag and we left, and we saw them coming around later looking for the spoon, and we just walked off. Sorry, guys.
Nope. Ours now.
You chunked that heavy-ass spoon in my head. That's the least I can do is keep it.
Exactly. I'll give it a better home. You might get in trouble.
Exactly. You cannot be trusted with us. So while there's no such thing as an unsafe movie, there are definitely such things as unsafe haunts.
Yes.
And bad haunts are often very, very dangerous.
Right.
Now, to be fair, good haunts can be dangerous too. Well, actually, no, they can't be. There's no such thing as a good unsafe haunt.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So, like, things like, I remember when we had the Haunted Puddle here, and that was actually the name of a haunt. It was a very interesting and very unique experience.
Yes.
But it was wildly unsafe.
Yeah, I was more scared by the fire code violations.
Yeah, it really, this is some one of those times it really sucks being a haunter.
Yeah.
Because you're going through and you, instead of having this really interesting artistic experience that literally just a bunch of like a convent of artists.
Right.
You know, kind of did. We're like, oh my God, there is no way this is fire code compliant.
Yeah.
Where are your sprinklers, man? Like,
is that going to fall on me? Like, I think that's actually going to fall on me.
we're looking around at all this stuff and being terrified by the fire code violations.
Well, and it's bad because there were glimmers of inspiration and hope.
There were a lot of very creative scenes.
Yeah.
But man,
there was a lot just wrong.
Yeah, I mean, from a haunt perspective, in terms of a fire code and safety, there was a scene that deliberately had you walk across lake floors.
Yeah.
We'll start there. I mean.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like that haunt in Slidell that closed down all those years ago that you got a concussion at.
Yeah, God, I forgot about that one. For obvious reasons.
Yeah.
The fact I had a concussion might have played a role in it.
Yeah, because if that one had been an actually safe haunt, it might have qualified as a better haunt.
Yeah, it would. It would definitely have qualified as a better haunt.
Yeah.
But anyways, but basically, and this is, like I say, getting to the language differences and the way we think of what makes a bad haunt. If a haunt is bad like a movie is bad, we don't call it a bad haunt usually.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And neither do customers.
Right. No.
Because the thing about it is this. Customers come to haunted attractions expecting to be entertained. If they're entertained, they don't really care about much else, usually.
Yeah.
And I know that customers leave a lot of feedback saying that they want better sets, they want better costumes, and all this and that.
Right.
But at the end of the day, if your price and quality match,
yeah,
believe me, they're not going to complain.
Nope.
That's one of those things that a lot of people don't seem to get is, yeah, there's this push to get higher, higher, and higher quality sets and designs, but believe me, there's plenty of room at the lower end, you know, if you're willing to charge accordingly.
Right.
And set your expectations accordingly. It's just not considered a bad haunt as long as it's a good value. But yet we call films that do that bad films because they break the rules of cinema, they tell a confusing plot, they, you know what I mean, the acting's not good. We look at those films and no matter how entertaining they are, we say they're bad films.
Right.
We don't judge the good or bad of films solely based upon how entertaining they are, but that is how we judge haunts, usually. So, you know, a low-budget, you know, film, a low-budget movie, a low-budget, low-skill movie can be a bad movie that's entertaining. That's not how we discuss haunts.
No.
That's just not how we talk about it. That's not how we think about it. And I don't know why it's different, but it is. Now, the yes argument is that bad haunts can have really bright spots.
Right.
And we saw this with Freaks of Fear in that night. And like I said, I think it was just the night we went. I'm being honest. I think it's actually a very good haunt.
Yeah, we did go at closing time, too.
Yeah, we really screwed them.
I'm pretty sure that we didn't see them the first time because the lights were out.
Yeah.
Like, they had already closed.
Yeah, I think we really screwed them inadvertently. But even going through this haunt that wasn't upstaffed, significant portions of it weren't populated. Dear Jesus, that thing that swooped down on us, that was like one of the like five things I really remember from the Atlanta trip. It stuck with me. It was amazing. It was brilliant. And it was beautifully executed.
Yes.
The timing on that was just brilliant.
Yeah.
And that's just it. You know, we completely forgot about everything else.
Right.
All the other issues. We forgot about the trouble finding it. We forgot about the trouble getting.
Yeah.
We forgot about it all. But now we'll talk about the goddamn bird that swooped down on us. It totally changed the conversation, but I don't think that's the same thing as being so bad it's good.
No.
Because the room does not have that one great bright spot. Neither does Birdemic. Neither does, you know,
any of
those films. It's a very, very different type of good.
Can you imagine those? Well, I don't have to imagine horror because I've seen some of that type of acting that's in the room and Birdemic in haunts.
Oh, yeah, we've actually seen that.
Yeah. And it's not intentional. Yeah. Now, when it's intentional, it can be fun. But when it's not intentional, it's just, please stop.
Yeah, just stop. Talk to, here's Japes' card.
Yeah.
call him.
Yep.
Call him, please. Japes, please send us a stack of your business cards.
Yeah. I actually do need those.
Yeah, we actually do need those. But yeah, it's just not the same, though, as being so bad it's good. Bad haunts can be less intimidating. This was an argument I came up with. I don't know where I was going with it. But basically, it's that if you are someone that's new to haunts, maybe a bad haunt's a place to start. But why not just go to a good haunt that's less aggressive?
Right, exactly.
I mean, we have haunts all over the spectrum in terms of aggressiveness, even just in our region.
Yeah.
We have haunts like the 13th Gate that, while they have good scares, aren't super aggressive. They're more actor, you know, acting based.
Right.
Like actual acting based. Not,
yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm trying. Like yes. Theater acting
it's
based.
It's like going through a movie set.
Exactly. It's more like going through a movie set than it is necessarily everyone trying to scare the bejesus out of you right then and there.
Yeah.
They do a good job making sure that not everyone is trying to boo gotcha.
Yeah.
And then we have other haunts in the area that are very aggressive with the scares.
Right, like Asylum at Rise.
Yes.
Versus the House at Rise.
Yes, exactly. You have different levels of aggressiveness. Why not find a haunt that has a appropriate level for you, that you could find a good haunt?
Yes.
And the other thing is that some bad haunts still get things, some things right, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, we talked about the cash-in haunts.
Yeah.
They can have some beautiful props and beautiful set designs.
Yeah.
It's amazing what you can buy.
Mm-hmm.
And the cash-in haunts, especially if they are managed by someone who, you know what I mean, actually gives a crap and is trying.
Yeah.
Can still do some great things. And we've seen this. Like, I know when the mortuary began.
Yeah.
They had a real problem with it being definitely a cash-in haunt.
They still do.
They do. But there was a period of time where they brought in some really good people who really cared and really tried and did some good work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just it. You can oftentimes tell who's been working the past year when you go through based upon how precise, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I find them to be the most egregious of the cash-in haunts in our area.
I still find them to be the one that buy
the most out of the fright props, and they have those issues.
The worst I think I've ever seen is a haunt that isn't there and ain't there no more, as we say in New Orleans.
Yeah,
and that was Buelow Fun Park, because basically he bought a whole lot of props.
I would have to disagree. I think he brought like four props because that's what he could afford.
Well, that's cash in haunt,
but
doesn't necessarily mean he dropped a million bucks.
Yeah,
he dropped, you know, what he could and assumed a good haunt would spring magically forth from that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he was just trying to swindle people until after the real haunt closed.
Louisiana Nightmares closed.
I think he was just trying to fill a void just long enough until people figured out it wasn't going to be a replacement.
Which was about
a season or two.
Master said he dropped money, but he didn't have any interest in developing the skills.
No.
He didn't have any interest in recruiting people to help him with that part.
Right.
I genuinely think it was... a poor man's cash-in, if you will.
Yeah, no, I can agree with that, because as I'm thinking about it, they did not change anything over the next year or two.
They only opened two seasons, we're aware of.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was a rough experience. But why would we go to a haunt that gets one or two things right when we go to a haunt that gets many more things right?
Right.
Or at the very least gets the passion part of it right.
Yeah.
And is actively entertaining rather than just a showroom floor.
Right.
So I don't know. I really couldn't come up with a lot of good yes arguments. And I think it's simply because we think of the quality of haunts differently than we do films.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I said, we've talked about how, you know, film can be bad but entertaining. But that's not something we say with haunted attractions. If a haunted attraction is entertaining, it's a good haunt.
Right.
And I think it comes from the adage. I can't remember. We said it on the podcast. But the idea is that you can't scare every customer, but you can entertain every customer.
Right.
The idea that you're never going to bat 1,000 with scaring people.
Yeah, and I think that was Zombie Army.
I think you're right. But I love that idea because it's the truth. There are people like me and you that go through haunts, and we go through haunts like it's our living room.
Yeah.
We're more at home there than we are in our own house in many ways. And so, yeah, scaring us, truly terrifyingly scaring us, you know, getting past just, you know, basic human nature startles is going to be very difficult. I admit that. But when you do it right, when you have the passion,
yeah,
even if you don't scare, it's entertaining.
Yeah.
It is fun. Mm-hmm. It is engaging. So maybe I'm not screaming my head off or crying my eyes out.
No.
But I am engaged and I'm entertained, and that is what I'm there for.
Yes.
And that's just it. Bad haunts are bad haunts because they fail to entertain. Bad movies, because of the way we discuss the medium,
right,
aren't bad movies because they fail to entertain. They're bad movies because they fail all that other crap.
Right.
And I don't know why that is. I don't know how we got there. And I think a lot of this speaks to the language of the art, because movies are now considered art.
Right. And to be considered a bad movie, basically a lot of that is because of lack of technical skill.
Yeah. It's lack of pure technical skill.
Yeah. And we don't judge haunts by a lack of technical skill, because sometimes that leads to creativity.
And sometimes it leads to creativity, and sometimes it actually makes the haunt better.
Right.
Because I'll tell you where I feel like I'm in the most danger.
Yeah.
It's not those high-end professional haunts with the movie quality sets. It's those, you know, backwater mud show ones.
It's a guy's house that you just drove 2 hours through cornfields to get through.
Oh, 2 hours. It was 10.
I know.
It was a lot more than 2 hours.
Well, from where we started.
Yeah, but but yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And movies are considered art, and for whatever reason, even though we've been around 40 years, we think of haunted attractions as art.
Yes.
We do, and I think most people in the industry do, but it's not like, you know, movies or film or movies or photography or art, or like painting and sculpting and whatever.
Right.
The public doesn't always recognize it as art.
Yeah, well, and that's...
They recognize the creativity.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't look at it as an artistic expression, as a medium of expression.
Yeah, and we're not the only industry that has that issue.
Yeah, video games are still wrestling with it. Because I definitely think video games are art. That's an easy one to me. But yeah, you ask people, are video games art? A lot of people are going to say no.
That's because they only play Candy Crush.
Oh, God. anyways.
Another story for another time.
Yes, but the long and short of it is... That's the issue comes to how we define bad haunts. And we don't define bad haunts the same way we define bad movies. And because of that, you can't have a haunt so bad it's good. It's impossible. It's effectively impossible.
Yeah.
And so that creates the problem, because it also impacts how we discuss the art and the craft of our industry in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Because... And that's the thing, is movies make that distinction between technically good and entertaining. Haunts just don't as much.
Yeah.
Certainly not to the extent.
No.
I mean, it's not to the extent where you'll see a movie, and like IMDb, you'll see movies that get like a 3.2 in IMDb.
Right.
With reviews that say it's the most entertaining damn thing they've ever seen. You don't get that with haunts.
No.
You don't get that separation.
No.
I mean, yeah, haunt review sites will do the, you know, the blah, 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 the sets were 7 out of 10, and whatever the hell that crap means, I don't really know.
No.
But we haven't really gotten to that nuanced discussion. Right now, a bad haunt is a haunt that doesn't entertain, and a haunt that doesn't entertain is not going to be so bad it's good.
No.
So I think that's really what it comes down to for me. Now, that being said, if you change the definition of what is a bad haunt, you can get a very similar answer. If we do talk more about a bad haunt, it's one with lack of technical expertise. Then you've got haunts like the Lafitte Fire Department we just discussed, which the technical expertise is low, but dear Jesus, they're a lot of fun.
Yes, exactly.
They're a blast.
And to me, they are more comparable to the 3 and 4 bad movies. The ones on that scale.
Yeah.
If we were going to try to do just a straight comparison of Bonds based on film. Technical skill.
Yeah.
Yeah, to film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with you. And that would be... And maybe not The Room, because the weird, interesting thing about The Room, if you watch it, is that from a technical standpoint, it's actually a very good film. Yeah. The production quality is way better than that film deserves. Yeah. It's the acting, storytelling, and everything else that falls off the rails.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. They didn't bother to focus the lens on something. All right,
you got
things.
Me on that one.
I mean, if you can't even focus your freaking camera...
But they did drop $6 million on that production, so...
So it's equivalent of a cash-out haunt?
Maybe it is. But then again, can a cash-out haunt be that good? I don't know, okay?
Can a cash-out haunt be that good? Maybe.
I don't...
Okay, so here's the thing. Cash-out haunts... pay their actors better, and they get the better actors in the area. So even though they fail in a lot of areas, the acting is usually better.
God, that didn't happen in The Room.
No.
That did not work in The Room.
No, it didn't.
That theory falls right off the goddamn tracks.
It was a disaster.
it was a very artistic disaster, though.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, honestly, though, just because of the way we think about this industry and the way we praise and reward creativity and entertainment value,
right.
It makes it very difficult to make a bad haunt that's still considered good.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I don't like thinking of haunts like Lafitte, like they're that type of movie, because... I think they're very good. I think they're very creative haunts.
Yeah.
They do a lot of things very, very, very well. You know, they don't have the budget or the technical expertise or the time, in Lafitte's case.
Right.
to build, you know, a true masterpiece of haunt design.
Yeah.
But these guys really do make up for it with passion and with a desire to scare and entertain every customer that walks through that door.
Yeah.
Believe me, they want nothing more than to make sure you are highly entertained.
Yes.
So, God, you know, it just doesn't seem equivalent. So I think what we have, I think the takeaway for me from this is that we have to find ways to better talk about the craft of our industry to the public.
Right.
And with the public.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, the means of communication are limited. And part of that's because we're not considered an art form outside the industry. People right. who've worked in it know that this is an art that combines, you know, theater, painting, combines a whole bunch of various forms of art, plus a lot of stuff that's very unique to us.
Mm-hmm.
But outside our hallowed halls, that's not seen.
No.
And that's really hindered our ability to talk about what's good and what's bad.
Yeah.
Because we're not getting a lot of nuanced conversation about it. And I think that's hindered us improving our haunts. Because when we're getting feedback, we're getting very one-dimensional feedback a lot of times.
Yeah. It was scary. It wasn't scary. I liked it. I didn't.
The sets were pretty. The sets were terrible. I mean,
yeah,
we're getting really one-dimensional feedback that isn't super useful.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe this is alluding to some bigger problems in the industry that we can talk about in future episodes because we're out of time.
All right.
But, so... On that note, once again, if you have not followed us on social media, we are Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. Find our website at hauntweekly.com. You can also go to tinyurl.com/hauntweekly. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Get up to date there. Also, catch any episodes you missed and look at the pretty, pretty lists and other things we've got going there. But until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was episode 106 of Haunt Weekly, asking the question... Can a haunt be so bad it's good? The answer was no. Thank you very much, and we will see you guys next week.
You could have saved them an hour.
Well, then they wouldn't have listened. Duh.